Welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at Sean Green Show. And like us on Facebook and subscribe to the YouTube page. All interviews are there. Latest news. You know what? I got to talk to this man more. Mike the Birdman Dye, video game correspondent, This Week in Geek.net. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, Sean. It is a pleasure, as always, to be back on your wonderful program.
All right, great. Now, I got to get your opinion. Marvel made major announcements, Phase 2 and Phase 3, with a ton of new movies. I want to get your opinion. Which one are you you just can't wait to see? Because I'm really excited for Inhumans. That's the one that I'm really waiting for.
The easy answer would be to say Infinity War, which should be the big culmination of phases 2 and 3. I'm really hyped for Doctor Strange because it kind of opens up Marvel's fantasy sort of setting, considering Thor Ragnarok should probably be the conclusion of that universe. But with Doctor Strange, you open up bad guys like Baron Mordo, Dormammu, Shumara Gorath. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, and I believe they cast Benedict Cumberbatch for that film as well, correct?
Nothing official has come down the pipeline about it. Like, there hasn't been an official Marvel press release. But my imagining will probably hear something probably in the next couple of weeks, if not maybe when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes on its mid-season finale or with Agent Carter. I imagine we'll probably hear something in relation to that, to one of those things.
Dude, there's so much I want to talk to you about when you brought up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. First of all, how do you like this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
The fact that they introduced the Absorbing Man as the primary bad guy in the first episode impressed the ever-living hell out of me. And honestly, this is the S.H.I.E.L.D. show that we should have got in the first season,
Yeah. Now
that it's all amped up. But now that all the groundwork's laid out, now we can have cool characters like Mockingjay's finally showed up. The girl who played her was in G.I. Joe Retaliation as Lady J, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm curious to see what they can do. I want to know how it's going to lead into I want to know how it's going to lead into Age of Ultron, which opens in May.
Yeah, and that was my biggest question, actually, from the end of season one and in this season. Also, a couple of more comic book, you know, small screen is Arrow. Yeah, Arrow, you got The Flash, and you have Gotham, which to me, it has wowed me up. It's one of the best shows, in my opinion, as far as comic book movies, Gotham, and it doesn't even have Batman. It's just Commissioner Gordon and Harvey Bullock. I love this show. What do you think about it?
I'm honestly surprised that the idea for Gotham, the fact that it's a Batman-less Batman show, is working this well. I mean, if DC does anything right, it does television properties remarkably well. Another show that that they've been doing, it's on NBC, is Constantine.
Yes.
Which is based upon the Hellblazer comics. And the guy they got playing him, Matt Ryan, he played Edward Kenway in Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed Black Flag last year. You could not have cast a better guy for that role.
Yeah.
That series I love. Gotham I like. The Flash I didn't think I'd like, but I'm thoroughly enjoying that. I mean, honestly, it's a good time to be a nerd, especially if you like really nerdy television. I mean, we've got The Walking Dead. We've got all these comic book shows. Agent Carter comes out in January. Damn, Sean, I love TV.
Yeah, and geeks shall inherit the earth. Now, let's move on to video games because this is what you do. Geek.net. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare dropped on the 3rd. I have my copy. I played a little bit. I played a little bit of the campaign mode. I played a fair amount of the multiplayer mode. What's the story behind this Call of Duty franchise?
Well, the storyline in this one, it's basically you pay a soldier who gets hurt and his best friend dies. He then gets picked up by a PMC, which is a private military Corporation. You might recognize that term if you've played any of the Metal Gear games of late.
Yeah.
And it's basically you and Kevin Spacey going out there and fighting the evils of the world. The storyline, it's predictable as hell, but this game, it reminds me of Call of Duty meets Titanfall without the frenetic movement of Titanfall, but the movement is similar in the fact that you can double jump now. You can dash side to side. You can dash backwards. I've actually spent more time in multiplayer than I have in campaign, and normally I buy the collector's editions of COD, or they're given to me by Activision, and I play multiplayer for about a week, maybe two, and then I kind of forget about it. This one, I'm having a lot more fun.
Yeah.
And that says something to me. Call of Duty finally feels kind of fresh again.
Yeah, and that's what I got from it, because by the time Ghost came around, and I think we all agree that Ghost was a very horrible Call of Duty. It was
Ghost sucked. Straight up sucked.
It was the worst. And I had my I was like, you know what? I want this Advanced Warfare, but I hope it doesn't turn out to be like Ghost. And when I started to play the multiplayer mode, I was satisfied. And one thing I definitely want to ask you about, too, is that this was developed by Sledgehammer, correct?
Yep.
Now, which other Call of Duty games have they produced?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, because I know it used to be Infinity Ward and Treyarch who did Call of Duty Modern Warfare, World at War, and then there was, what was the other one? Black Ops.
Oh, yeah.
One and two. I think Sledgehammer, what they've brought to the table in this alliteration of Call of Duty, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. It's kind of like a smarter sci-fi to the setting while still being kind of ridiculous at the same time. And I think what sets this Call of Duty apart from the other ones is the gadgets. I mean, the fact that you can have your specialist exo armor climb up the side of a building.
Yeah.
One part early on in the campaign, I'm pretty sure you probably played this part too, where you're fighting on top of that city bus.
Yes.
My God, I want to see that in a movie. That would be so cool, than ripping the windshield out and tossing the guy into the hydro pole.
Yeah.
See, that's something that Call of Duty hasn't had in a while. It doesn't feel cinematic. It's almost like it's taking itself too seriously. With this one, they're like, okay, here's the universe. There are now robots in it. Go nuts.
Yeah.
And Sledgehammer Games has made it fun again.
And one noticeable face in that game, Kevin Spacey, and this was about a couple of months ago, where he openly admitted that he had some input in the storyline of the game. And do you feel this is like Kevin Spacey, like when you played it?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically if his character from House of Cards ran a military operation, not one guy I'd want to screw with in a dark alley. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Spacey's performance in this game, it's one of those rare performances from a celebrity who doesn't just have to phone it in.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey has this presence and this charisma where, you know, he would cheat you out of your life savings or tell you to shoot your best friend, and he'd probably give you a pretty convincing argument to do it. I mean, the closest I can think of his performances that I think are underrated, when he played Lex Luthor in Superman Returns back in 2006.
Yeah.
And a movie he did called Shark Tank.
Oh, man.
And you get the menace off of Kevin Spacey because he speaks so evenly, but you can feel the words dripping with venom with him, and I love that about him.
Now, one thing I definitely wanted to ask you about Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Now, is it true that it was different companies that developed the game for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360? Was there different companies that were involved in this, or no?
It really wouldn't surprise me, simply because with a game like this, you'd have to split your development teams up so you can focus on one particular platform to make sure you're getting the best possible product. I couldn't answer that question directly, but it really wouldn't surprise me because other companies port different titles to different consoles since once again, they can focus on the primary generation, which is now PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Great, great, great. We're talking with Mike the Birdman Dodd, thisweekingeek.net. Let's move on to Smash Brothers Wii U Direct. Last week, Nintendo hosted a Wii U Nintendo Direct stream to talk about Smash Brothers Wii U. Now, did they announce any new characters for this version?
Well, if you have both versions for the 3DS and the Wii U version, you get Mewtwo, who I don't think has been seen in a version since Smash Brothers Melee. Plus, if you have both versions of the game, if you go to Club Nintendo, which is sort of like Nintendo's loyalty program, you get the soundtrack for the game. They'll actually send you a physical CD, comes out in January for it. They've obviously been talking about the Amiibo support, which is their little plastic figurines that can interact with a number of different titles, and just announced this week, actually, that you can interact with Mario Kart 8, Hyrule Warriors, and Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. But they've also introduced a bunch of new modes, 8-player Smash.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this is going to be the thing that will move Wii U's this holiday season. I mean, I'm really foreseeing Smash being a very hard title to find, especially come around Black Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of GameStops and EB Games. I think the pre-orders for this are pretty strong. If the hype online is any indication of it, it's going to be a very well-selling title. And my review copy should be here, like, tomorrow. So I'm pretty hyped for that.
Oh, we definitely got to talk to you again once you get a chance to play it a lot. Now, one of the things that I know a lot of people have been saying, especially in the forums, is that they wanted a version of Smash Brothers, like a tournament mode. Did they make any announcement about that?
Nothing direct, but then again, they do have all the rules customization that you've come to expect from the series. So if you want to have a Smash battle that's only, say, 3 stocks, no items except final smashes, and you can only pick certain stages, you can definitely do that. I actually used to play semi-professional Smash in a local gaming center in Hamilton, Ontario, which is just a little bit east of Toronto, and we had our own kind of tournament set up. And I know by playing with the Smash Brothers on the 3DS, setting up custom rule sets is remarkably easy.
Great, great. And there you have it. Mike, the Birdman Dodd, video game correspondent, thisweekingeek.net. Make sure you go to thisweekingeek.net. Subscribe to the iTunes. Make sure you download the shows. They got blogs. They got everything you need to know if you're in the geek world. This is my man right here. This is the guy I go to when I need to know about the latest video games, geek stuff, everything. This is the man. This is the guy you want to go to. So make sure you go to thisweekingeek.net. Mike, thanks so much, man, for joining us.
Anytime, Sean. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at BirdmanDodd. Same thing on Facebook and Instagram.
Great. We'll be back right after this.